You're listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Look at the stars. Look how they shine for you.
Thank you.
And everything you do. Oh, remember that video? I was like, what have you done?
Yeah, that was a good video.
Pony Gill.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Happy New Year to you. It's going to be a good year. It's the year of the horse. Did you know?
I did not know.
Yeah, you know what? Let's look at this, because it is, for those of you who do not know, the year of the horse, and let's see what that represents. So the year of the horse, 2026. Here we go. 26 is the year of the Yang fire horse in the Chinese zodiac, beginning on February 17th, 2026, with the lunar new year. This signifies powerful forward momentum, freedom, passion, and bold action, bringing opportunities for significant progress, personal growth, and embracing change after the introspective year of the snake. So we went from the snake to the year of the horse.
So I think I was the year of the snake. I believe that I was born the year of the snake.
Do they repeat? How many animals are there?
There's like the pig, the rat, the snake, the tiger, there's a lot.
I think I remember this because there was a shout out to Tehachapi, California. There was a Chinese restaurant called The Great Wall in Tehachapi. It was right by the Blockbuster, if you're familiar with that.
Why do I think I have been there?
You might have. That was like the go-to.
And they used to have menu, and it had like the little
the
like
around it. It was like the rat, and it was like the thing. But there was quite a bit. There was quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay. So
you've been there.
I swear I have. But anyways, it's the year of the horse. I guess that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. I like the powerful forward momentum. That's kind of cool.
So what did you do on New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, I went to a place called Fisher Brewery. And that's actually a really fun spot. I like that place a lot. Been there a handful of times. And just spent time with some friends and brought in the new year. And honestly, nothing special. I feel like, honestly, when it comes down to like people wanting to celebrate, and especially specifically about like going out, mm-hmm. It's so overrated. You know, there's something cool about like 10, not, you know, a room full of people, because I think it's the, you know.
I feel like I'm past that.
I feel like I'm past it too, but there is a level of like where other people's, there's like the communion of spirits, you know, where it's like everyone's happy, blah blah blah. You kind of feed off of that, where everyone's like you know, but also everyone's probably drunk, but it, you know, it's cool. But yeah, I think I'm a little bit past it too. It just doesn't interest me anymore, and I didn't sleep at all. It's just stupid.
Right,
especially when alcohol is involved. You're borrowing tomorrow's happiness.
Right, because how did you feel on New Year's Day?
So good.
Did you?
No.
Well, we ended up hanging out.
We did. And what did we do?
Well, we ended up going to all these different places.
How much money did I spend? Oh, that's right. $5,500.
Okay. It wasn't that much, but close.
Okay. It was $60, but still. Actually, more. I got a really cool jacket that's I'm super self-conscious about, and I got those slippers.
Yeah, you did. He bought these like slippers at Big Five, and then you bought a jacket at Nordstrom Rack, which I really like.
Do you really like it?
I do.
Is
I mean,
too it, big?
It is a little big on you, I must admit, but it's a really nice jacket.
But it looks good still.
Actually, it's not even a jacket. It's like a coat, like a winter coat.
I gotta return it.
You can't return it. It was like
Final sale.
And
do you think I should keep it? Does it look good?
Yes, I think you should keep it. And
whenever I'm unsure about something, I have to ask people around me 58 times in order for it to like finally be like, remember when I got my haircut? Oh, does it look good? You know, like just everything, every change, I'm like, echolalia. No, that's not echolalia.
No, that's just you being unsure.
Sure. Do my knees make me look fat?
No.
Mm.
It's your toes.
Which ones? All 10 of them?
Just kidding.
Or is it the pinky toes?
No. I'm just kidding. No, but let's talk about this movie.
The movie was called Girls Gone Wild Spring Break Edition 2001.
Lies.
I love the soundtrack to that, by the way. It's so good.
So on New Year's Day, we decided to go to a movie after our shopping.
Well, I was laying in bed.
You were, and I coaxed you out of bed.
You what?
I coaxed you out. Like, I was like, let's do something.
That's a good word. Coaxed. Miamo.
I was like, what are you doing?
I'm actually really busy.
Well, so that morning, I was like, oh my gosh, it's the middle of the week, and I never have the middle of the week off, so what am I going to do? Well, I have to clean my house. So I cleaned, and then I was like, this is so boring. Now that my house is clean in the middle of the week, I have to do something. So
you go to Salt Lake.
So I go to Salt Lake, and then the place that I went wasn't open, and so I was like, Jet, what are you doing?
And I was, you know, very deep into my productive day.
Right. And then we decided to go out, and we went out.
By the way, you know what? I have an update for you. I forgot to tell you. So we go, I meet Olivia in Sugar House. At Target. We were at Target. And then I have Beatus with me because I have Beatus with me everywhere. So you know how I got locked out? So the reason why we went and saw a movie, blah, 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 but I was originally going to drop Beatus off. So we drive all the way there so I can drop off Beatus because I'm like, I'm not going to go see a movie with her, even though I would like to. But
and Beatus is the dog, if nobody knows or people don't know.
Little Beatus Bella. And the front door was locked. But guess what? Found out later the sliding door was open.
Okay, now you're never going to believe what I'm about to tell you. So I swear I have this little tinge of psychic in me. When we were leaving... Something said to me, check the sliding glass door.
You know what's funny is I felt like I should check it too, but I didn't.
And I didn't say anything about it.
Why didn't you say anything about it? We both were thinking it.
Because I'm dumb. Like, why didn't I say that? I don't know. But anyways, oh well. It's okay because we ended up going to the movie theater and we're like, this is our service animal. Can we take her in?
Well, I go and it was the manager there, right? Who looked all 13 years old with a beard. And he's like, I was like, is she good? Like, I'm not going to put her on the seat. And he goes, yeah, as long as she's a service animal. And I go, yeah, sure. But I don't think, you know what's funny about that is usually they don't say anything, but you can't legally ask. For papers, to see papers. If someone says, this is my service animal, you have to just say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was really actually kind of cool to have her in the movie with us.
She did really well.
She actually did really well. But
everybody loved her.
Let's talk about this movie for a minute, though.
You don't like this movie, but you liked it because of the guy. What's his name?
He was beautiful. Okay.
And she said she had a forever crush on Paul Walker. And you said he's even with Paul Walker?
He's pretty much up there, but, I mean, nobody's going to beat my Paul Walker. Nobody is going to beat him.
So this fella's name is Brandon, I don't even know how to say his last name, Sklenner. He is a 35-year-old male.
So
from New Jersey, he's 6'2".
Why? Never mind. Anyways, I had a comment, but I'm going to keep that to myself. Okay, so.
Do you like his mustache?
I don't do mustaches, no.
So even when, like, this is an interesting thing because, like, there's, like, women that I have, like, major crushes on that are famous, and I'm like, oh, I don't like her hair or whatever. I don't like her clothes, but I'm still like, oh, yeah, like, that girl's, like, do you see him in a mustache, even though you may not like it, and still go, ooh, I would, like,
I can't do the mustache. I don't like the mustache, no. I mean, he has a really good face. I like his face, but, like... I would have never guessed he was from New Jersey because, like, he doesn't have, like, an accent.
Like, he might have been acting.
No, because I've heard him talk in interviews and stuff like that. So he was in, for those of you that have seen...
It Ends With Us.
It Ends With Us. He played Atlas, and he is the reason my ChatGPT's name is Atlas. So it's really funny that he was in this other movie.
He was also in 1923. That was a big show.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he was the...
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, he was the good guy and It Ends With Us, and then he ended up being the bad guy. He ended up being the bad guy in this Housemaid movie? Housemaid?
He wasn't. Is that what it's called? Bad guy. We don't know.
Is that what it's called? Housemaid? Anyways, really good movie, though.
Well, speaking of Sydney Sweeney, what do you think of her?
Well, I know which part you liked in that movie.
Yes, there is a steamy, real just steamy, like I had to close Beatus's eyes. But mine were wide open.
I'm sure.
I don't know. Do you think she's a pretty girl?
Yeah, but she has downturned eyes like I do, and I don't like that because it's hard to do makeup with downturned eyes.
Well, she does a very good job at looking.
Well, she didn't have any makeup on in that movie, if you noticed.
She also didn't have some clothes on, which I was hoping that we could go in slow-mo during that part. Sydney Sweeney is only 28. She's born in 1997.
Oh, my gosh.
But you know who's also hot, too, is Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah.
She's still got it going on.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. She's in a lot of things.
So Amanda Seyfried stole the show on acting, but Sydney stole it with, like, hotness. Well, I'm sure your other guy did, too. She's 40.
Yeah, I knew she was closer to my age. But, sorry, I'm only 29.
You're 25.
Anyway.
No, great, great. I would watch it again. I think the next one I want to see is Marty Supreme with Timothy Chalamet. He's going to be the next, he's making a good name for himself. Just like Youngblood is like our next rock star. I think the youngins of the group, like Timothy Chalamet is going to be like maybe a Johnny Depp or like a, you know, Brad Pitt, that kind of guy. I don't know if he's going to be a Leo because Leo's just like, maybe, I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. Speaking of, you just mentioned Youngblood. So let's talk about today.
Yes. Yeah. The funeral.
So we attended a funeral today. It was a guy that we had worked with. Well, not worked with, but kind of worked with.
Yeah, we're in property management, so he was one of the residents.
And he just, the day after Christmas, just
fell over.
Fell over and died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
our time is limited. We forget about that sometimes. It's like you can just like know somebody and see them, and especially if you're a part of their lives. But even if, like us, you know, we saw him, but he wasn't a part of our, like a deep part of our lives. And just one day, just like they're here and they're not.
So young too. He was 30 years old.
Just turned 32. Wasn't he like a couple months ago?
Yeah. Just barely 30. Like had his whole life ahead of him. Career. He was in his career, went to college, like healthy physically on the outside. Obviously something internally wasn't.
Yeah.
Right, because he did die of natural causes, but just
natural causes. A third, wild.
Yeah, but we attended that funeral today, and it just kind of sad.
Kind of sad. It definitely is. It's weird how sometimes death puts it into perspective. That like, wow, we're not promised tomorrow, and that's so cliche and so like cheesy to say. Like we're not promised tomorrow because everybody says it, but it really does. It and it unfortunately takes times like this where you know. Like the same thing, like you don't know what you got till it's gone. You know, like there's cheesy sayings out there that everybody knows. And then when something like a death happens like that, you go, wow, you really don't have tomorrow promised. Literally, the only thing promised is the second we're right now. Now that's gone. Now we have this one. Oh, wait, then that's gone. Now, you know, it's like literally like that's the only thing.
Right, right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the past is somewhat alive, kind of like it happened, but it's alive in our heads. You know, people will have memories and all that stuff, and that's that one day that's going to be the only way that we exist on here is through the vision and through the imagery that we have in the people that are left's brains.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
I did not understand that last sentence you just said.
So like memory, like thought. Like if you were to die right now, the only part of you that would be alive here on Earth is the images in people's heads, like your memory.
Right. And let's think about like 100 years from now. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be in anybody's mind.
You're not going to be in anyone's mind. When I think of my family members that are like my mom will sometimes say like, oh, Grandma Bernice or whatever. And like, you know, like, and then like her parents, I'm like, I don't even know. Like once I get into like, besides like my grandma and maybe my great grandmother, I don't even know their names. I don't even know anything about them. Like, and then like my kids aren't going to know anything about them. I don't even know anything about them. It's great. You're right. In like 100 years, you're going to be forgotten.
Right. Completely.
And then you're going to like, someone's going to pull out a picture and it's going to be Olivia. And then they're going to like, who's this? And then, like, they're going to be like, I don't know. I think it was someone on my mom's side. And I don't know.
They're gonna be like, what is she wearing?
What is she wearing? Oh, my gosh.
Crazy, right?
That is crazy. It's crazy how we all will be forgotten, except for, I remember when I was younger, part of the reason why I wanted to go to an acting class, I was like, you'll never die if you're not, like, people like Marlon Brando and all the stuff, all the things when you're, like, trying to be this intellectual actor who has, like, a dream. Oh, I had a dream, you know? You're like, well, my art will never die, and I will live forever because I'm going to be the, you know, like, unless you're, like, well-known, like, famous, you know, like, Martin Luther King or like a famous actor, musicians like that, people weren't going to, you know, like people still talk about Elvis.
That wasn't that long ago. It was in my lifetime.
People still talk about Beethoven.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is
people true. Still talk about, you know, Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. And there's right. certain figures like that, you know, but unless you're like that, you're not going to really.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
That is crazy to think about. Like, unless you did something major, major back in the day.
Yeah.
Or no, even now. Or that. Even now.
Yeah.
You're going to be totally forgotten. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to think of.
And we're not even that far out because a lot of these people are still alive. But, like, even, like, if you're just, even if it's just, like, music or art, we're not that far out of it yet because, like, yeah, we're still talking about Led Zeppelin or, like, yeah, like, Al Pacino, even though he's alive. But, like, in a, like, name an actor. Like, what are some of the good actors, like, in the 20s and 30s? Like,
we can't name them.
Can't name them.
Or, here's another example. Like, you said art. Like, Monet. Mm-hmm. If I saw a picture of Monet, I wouldn't know that that was Monet.
Unless you're, like, a huge Monet fan.
Right. Like, but yeah. I wouldn't, like, I'd see a picture and be like, oh, who's that guy? Like, I would know his work by, like, looking at, like.
Yes, but if there's a picture of him.
You're like, I wouldn't
who's
know.
That guy? Who's that weird-looking guy? I don't even know right? who's weird-looking. But, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's crazy. We're all going to be forgotten.
It's like this earth, I look at it as like we're visitors. We're visiting this. This is like a very temporary, a temporary place. We're on vacation here. It's not, this isn't our home.
This isn't our home. I think we're supposed to have a good time here, do good, help people, and then we move on. No need to stand up. I'm just passing by. Don't get up. Don't make yourself uncomfortable here because like I'm just a visitor. Just passing by. Oh, I'm gone.
Yep.
The world continues on.
Yep.
Old J Puppy and Olivia Newton-John, we're gone and out of this world, and the world's still turning.
True.
Crazy, huh?
It is crazy.
But we all have this idea in our head that we want to be, like, remembered and all that stuff. It's like, you know, because I think some part of it is maybe we've been programmed to think it's, like, comforting. Like, what do you want to be remembered by? I'm like, yeah, I guess. But, like, at the same time, what does it matter to us?
True. I've always had this thought, though, and I was thinking about this today at the funeral. Like, I always feel, and this is not like, this is just like in my head. I always feel like the person that like passed away, like, for example, he died today. I always feel like they're there at their own funeral.
Yeah.
And they're going to be there until they're put in the ground. That's just how I've thought about it. Yeah. Is that weird?
No, it's not weird. It's actually kind of beautiful. I don't know why this is going to be like, they don't want this to be like a Youngblood episode, but like, speaking of Youngblood, he has like the song where he's like, I've been dancing at my funeral. And like, I was hoping you'd look beautiful. Like, it was just like this idea that like, now it's kind of gave me the imagery of that where you just said, like, maybe people ask like, why do you want to be, how do you want to be remembered? Because some of the things that were talked about this person that died were beautiful, how helpful he was to strangers. All the stories can you imagine if he was actually hearing that? He'd be like, wow, I did make an impact on the world that people are talking about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you. Now I'm like, I want to go like help people now.
Oh, yeah.
You get motivated to do good when you hear about how someone else did good, you know?
Right, right. I don't know. I've just always pictured, you're gonna stick around. You're going to stick around for your funeral. And you're going to see all those people that you affected in life. All those people that, you know, you made an impact on.
I hope that that's true.
Yeah.
Do you think it is?
I don't know. I hope so. I would hope I would be at my own funeral. Yeah. Like, I know I posted a thing, you know, for people that follow me. I posted a funny thing about how I've always joked about at my own funeral.
Yeah.
Like, I love potatoes, and I want a potato bar at my own funeral.
They're pronounced potatoes.
I want a potato bar at my funeral because potatoes are, like, my thing, right? And so I said, I will be at my own funeral. Like, I tell people this. I will be there, and I will make sure that there is a potato bar there. So I want potatoes every way you can have them, you know, because everybody knows how much I love potatoes.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that.
And it can't be sad. Like, I don't want my funeral to be sad. Like, you can be...
It will naturally be sad because no, well, you know. But you're right. You want it to be a celebration of life versus a sad...
Right. I want it to be, like, happy thoughts. And, like, yeah, you can talk about, like, you know, some sad things. But, like, yeah. I want it to be, like, oh, this was a fun moment here and we did this and...
Yeah.
Whatever.
I wrote a poem about my funeral.
You did?
I posted it already.
Oh, my gosh.
About me. It was like, usually when I write them, I'm fixated on them. And then whenever I post them and I'm done with it, I like leaves my brain almost because then my mind's focused on the other one. It was like about me being late to my own funeral because I refused. And then it was like I made the metaphor of like, uh-oh, the street lights are on. I guess that's God calling me home. Hopefully, maybe he hasn't noticed that I haven't arrived yet. You know, that I'm like, all right, it's my time now to go.
Oh, wow.
But it was like, it was almost like a defiant, like,
yeah.
I refuse. Not yet. Not yet. Can I get one more day? You know, like, I'm late to my own funeral.
Do you want to be cremated or buried?
I think so. I think cremated.
Why?
I like, so my dad was cremated, and I like that I have a piece of him. Well, first of all, I have a piece of him in, like, a little cool stone. It's like a necklace that I can wear around my neck. Super cool. But I like the idea. I love funerals. I actually find comfort just spending time in funerals. Me and Bella will go sometimes and just hang out in a funeral.
You're such a liar.
Cemetery. Oh. Sorry, cemetery. Not a funeral.
I'm like, you're such a liar. You're just showing up to like somebody random.
I'm like wedding crashers, but it's like funeral crashers. Sorry, I'll rephrase that. Funeral. Cemeteries. I love cemeteries for some reason. I find peace there. They're just so comforting. So I like the idea of resting. A cemetery, but I think I'd rather be cremated because then, like, my kids can have me in like a ring. You can get like one of my aunts has a ring that have my dad's ashes in it. I have a necklace, like, it just, or you can just keep them in an urn. I don't know. I kind of like that instead of going to one location. I also like the idea of being spread. Not spread over. That sounded weird, but I'm like...
No, I get what you're saying.
I want my ashes to be spread. Like, I've spread ashes before, and it's cool seeing them float down the river. And, you know, like,
so my stepsister is a funeral director, and it's funny because her husband, my brother-in-law, like, his family owns the cemeteries in Santa Cruz, California.
Santa Cruz.
And... they really thought about having their wedding, like when they got married, at the cemetery because the chapel.
That is a beautiful idea.
Because the chapel is beautiful. The cemetery is beautiful.
Whoever my wife is, I'm going to channel this in. Sydney Sweeney. No, I'm just kidding. I want to get married I keep saying funeral. Why am I saying that? I want to get married in a cemetery. Beautiful one.
But they didn't do it. They actually got married at a hotel close by, but like they seriously thought about it because that's their family nice. Owned it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they were like, why don't we just do it? And they were like, well, are people going to think we're weird kind of thing?
People are going to think you're weird, but you have to lean into that. Who cares? We're all weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But I always thought I better have a really nice headstone because
you want to be cremated buried.
Yeah. I want to be buried.
Why?
I don't know. I want to be buried. I don't want to be cremated. I don't want my whole body to be there and then the next day I'm in ashes. I just don't want.
Yeah. You know what my dad said? There was a little bit of a dark undertone to this, but I think what he was thinking was probably from a beautiful, like a vision that he had. But he said that he did like the idea of being a part of the earth again. He said that he never said this to me, but apparently my family would say that he wanted to get like eaten by a bear, which I'm sure if you take out the violence, I know that sounds very dark, but like he liked the idea of like being a part of the earth again, like
yeah,
food and then like being then
yeah,
earth and all that stuff. And I'm assuming he didn't like the idea of being in pain, dying in pain, but I think the idea of it, like the symbolic meaning of being eaten by a bear, which when I thought about it more is kind of beautiful. Obviously, you don't want it, like, you hear bears and just, like, you picture screaming and just, you know, like, ripping apart flesh. Like, that part's terrible. But if you just look at the symbolic meaning of it and say there was no pain, that's kind of cool. But then, to your point, if you're just buried, like, you're then you're a part of the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like that. I don't know. I've spent many years thinking I wanted to be cremated, but I can see both being cool.
Yeah.
But imagine being spread somewhere.
So this is really weird, but so my brother lived with me for a little bit. My biological brother, when he was, he came and lived with me from California, and I had a really hard time living with him. And so there came a point where I was like, you know what? I need to kick you out. Well, he didn't take any of his stuff with him. He left all of it, right? And one of the things that he left me with was he left me with his aunt that he lived with that raised him. And she was cremated and is in a box.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad because she's in my garage right now.
Oh, yeah.
But she was never given, like, she was never put in an urn. She was like,
it was just a box.
It was just a box that has her name on it. And she's just in my garage. And I'd never like gotten an urn for her. And I didn't know her. She is my aunt, my biological aunt. Or my biological great aunt. I feel like I probably should do something with her, but I don't want her ashes. Do you see what I'm saying? Because
you should spread them.
Should I?
I think you should, or have some. Yeah, but also I'm personally offended that you've never seen The Big Lebowski. I have a tattoo literally on my arm from it. I love it so much. But it reminds me of that movie. I'm not spoiling anything, but someone dies and they put the ashes in like an old Folgers can.
What? I have not seen it.
Oh my gosh. If anybody has not seen The Big Lebowski, you're doing yourself an extremely, extremely bad disservice by not seeing that movie. Hmm. But anyway, I think you should spread the ashes.
Maybe I should. I think what kind of bothers me is that if my brother ever does come back into my life and he wants to know where his aunt is, I don't want to be like, oh, I spread her ashes in the mountains. You know what I mean? But well, he did leave her with me.
That's why you just maybe do some.
Oh, but then I don't want the rest of her. You know what I mean? Like,
well, somebody, do you know somebody that does?
No, because it's my biological great aunt. So I don't have any connection to my biological family, really.
Well, I think you should definitely, have you ever spread ashes?
No.
It's kind of great.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I've done it twice.
Oh, my. Was it with your dad?
No.
Oh.
No. But they spread his ashes on Mount Olympus, which is
That is cool.
But yeah, imagine being like on a boat somewhere, like you're at the ocean or something, and your ashes get spread.
I could probably do that. I mean, we were from California, so.
Yeah.
She was. She wasn't from Utah, so.
Can spread them out. And then it'd really be like The Big Lebowski and spread them out. How dare you? I cannot believe you. You call yourself a Californian and you've never seen The Big Lebowski?
I have not. Okay, I want to talk to you about something. Get out. Leave. I want to talk to you about something.
Okay.
Okay, so I have been watching a lot of TikTok lately.
Is that like MySpace, but bigger?
Very, very funny. But anyways, so one thing that I have been working on, and I don't know if you've even noticed this about me, like in the last, like, I would say, I don't know if it's like been 6 months, maybe closer to a year.
You shaved your head. I did notice.
Negative.
Oh.
I have not shaved my head, everyone.
No, it's just the sides of it.
Whatever. I noticed that your sideburns were shorter.
I know. I'm actually kind of glad that I did it. I was looking at old pictures of my long. So and recently I had them like right above my earlobe, but they were like an inch past it, I would say, probably.
Yeah, you look like Elvis.
Yeah, but no, but Elvis, yeah, this one was worse. I feel like Elvis actually looked better, but like they were way too long. And I remember at the time I was like, I can't get any cooler with these sideburns. But yeah,
well, I told you how cool you really looked.
You loved them, huh?
I hated them.
You hate sideburns.
I just don't like them like that.
No, you don't like, okay, I'll rephrase it. You don't like long sideburns.
I don't. And yours look good now, but at least
they're... Do you still think they're too long or do I need to go shorter?
No, I think they look fine now. Anyways. Okay. So, so I've been doing a lot of like personal reflection lately. I've been doing a lot of like soul searching meditation. I don't know if you know this. Like, I don't know if you've even seen a change in me in the last like 6 months. I'm not as anxious.
Yeah, I'd say so. I would say that I agree with that and seen it.
Okay. So, like, I guess I'm just trying to, like, become a better version of myself.
Why?
Why? Why would you do that? And so I saw this, like, TikTok, and I thought I would, like, try it out. Basically, is there somebody that you admire when it comes to, like, either personal finance or a psychologist or something that you struggle with, like, or a therapist, or I guess the same psychologist, but like somebody that like gives really good advice or something like that. Is there anybody like,
there's definitely people that I admire. And I think when you read up on people that you admire, if I find out that they'd like, or, you know, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Can't think of anyone off the top of my head. You mean like, are they putting in work for themselves, like working on themselves in a way that I would notice that if I did that same sort of work, I would probably benefit from it?
No. So let me explain what I'm talking about. Okay. So I know we've talked about this on other episodes. So I, and you too, you have an anxious attachment. I have an anxious.
Do I? I'm just kidding.
Yes. And so do I. So I was doing some research on the people or the person that actually like discovered like anxious attachment. So I asked ChatGPT a question, and this is what I asked it.
You said, am I anxious?
No, we already know that I am an anxious. Okay. But this is what I said.
And then you said, am I really anxious?
No, but I've been doing so much better than I have been. Okay. So I asked ChatGPT this question. I said, we know I'm an anxious attachment. I said, when I come to you for advice or help figuring something out, can you talk to me as if you had the personality of Mary Ainsworth? And then I did in parentheses, developmental psychologist, giving me advice and insight as if you were actually her, coaching me on becoming more secure, changing my mindset.
Oh,
now,
like,
Mary,
ChatGPT would respond as if she was Mary Swanson.
Mary Ainsworth.
Mary Ainsworth.
Yes, Mary Ainsworth. Now, Mary Ainsworth is the person that came up with the attachment, like each attachment. Like, so if you're secure, if you're anxious, if you're fearful avoidant, if you're an avoidant.
She came up with all of them?
Yes.
Of course she did.
She like discovered them. So like she is like the guru on like all of the attachment.
Of the attachment styles.
Yes. And so this is what ChatGPT told me.
ChatGPT.
This is what ChatGPT told me. Yes. And honestly, that's a very good instinct on your part. You're basically asking to be coached by the person who helped map the whole attachment terrain in the first place, not by pop psychologist influencer with a light or a ring light. Here is the tone you should expect from the Ainsworth mode me. Curious, non-judgmental, focused on behavior over stories, oriented towards regulation, not reassurance, always nudging you forward, earned security, not control. I can answer you as Ainsworth would, calmly challenging assumptions, grounding you in observational behavior, and always steering you towards earned security. One caveat. This is very Ainsworth of me to say. This only works if you're willing to tolerate some emotional discomfort in exchange for long-term stability. Security is quieter than anxiety. It feels boring at first. That's normal. So,
do you think reassurance is a good thing to have?
Well, I do, but also...
Not only reassurance, though.
Right. So if you're being a certain way, ChatGPT telling me in the same way that like Mary Ainsworth is going to tell me, is going to steer me in the direction that I need to go becoming secure. And I have been...
Instead of just reassuring you, which I think reassurance can be healthy, but if that's all you're getting, if it's like, hey, here's my thing that I struggle with, and it's like, oh, yeah, God, totally understand why you're struggling. Oh, that makes sense. If someone in your position would tell, if you weren't struggling with it, it'd be an issue, blah, blah, blah. And then if that's all you get, it's just like, oh, cool. I was reassured that the way I'm feeling is actually, okay, but then that's half of it. Then it's like, okay, now that I've said to you, you're feeling this way is valid. Now what's the next move? And the next move is to propel forward in a way that is going to lead you to being a secure.
Right. Because I want to be that secure attachment.
Like me.
Negative. But to be in a secure attachment, your friendships are going to be better. Your parent-child relationships are going to be better. Your intimate relationships are going to be, like, all your relationships are going to be better. No matter across the board which relationship it is.
You hear that, Sydney Sweeney? If I do the work, are you listening? It'll be better.
But here's the cool part about this is that I went off of the attachment one. But let's say you're into finances. Let's say you're into real estate. Let's say you're into like whatever it's into. Let's say your ideal like person that you look up to is like Tony Robbins, let's say.
Right, right.
You could say,
can you respond to me in a way that is Tony Robbins-esque?
Yes.
Or
and
whoever
it will,
that person is.
Right. And it will answer you like on a business level, Tony Robbins, like how Tony Robbins would do it. Do you see what I'm saying? Or if you're financially, like you're, let's say like JP Morgan, or obviously JP Morgan is not alive anymore, but do you see what I'm saying? Like,
but you could still answer as if it were, as if he was alive, right? Like, hey, here's my question about finance. I'm thinking about starting a business, blah, 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 blah. Can you answer this? Can you answer my question I just typed out in a way that JP Morgan would have answered it?
Yes. So you can go off of that. Or let's say you're like, okay, Bill Gates. Let's say, you know, oh, I need something, or somebody in tech, or I need somebody in, it doesn't have to be like who I chose. I chose because I want to be more secure.
Yes, and but it could be anybody.
It can be anybody. Whatever your issue is and you need to improve in your life, you can do it and they'll answer you in that person's language and tone.
I'm wondering if, say you're a musician, right? And you're like, hey, ChatGPT, I'm creating this song. Here are some of the tabs. Answer how good this is. And you give me honest feedback on as if you were answering like Beethoven.
I don't know if they would have that as much information. I mean, it's possible. I don't know. I haven't done it in a musical sense.
Okay. Well, then say, hey, I want to be the next Tom DeLonge. Can you answer this in a way that it would be as if Tom DeLonge was giving me advice?
Yeah, that's possible. It's possible.
Interesting. So yours was with Mary Swansonite.
Yeah.
Have you seen Dumb and Dumber?
Yes, of course.
He was the calling her Mary Swanson, Swansonite, when he was looking her up in the dictionary.
A long time ago. Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. But yeah, but you can do it like whatever your thing is, like career wise, financial, like if you're really insecure, if you're, you know, therapist, like.
Or if you want to be more confident in yourself and you're like, okay, how do I see this person who I admire on whatever. And I just be like, hey, I'm thinking about going to a social event and I want to ask this person out. Can you give me some feedback on what that would look like based off of, as if you were, I don't know, some confident guy, put his name in there. And then it would shoot up a response.
Yeah.
Or at least feedback.
Right. So if anybody's going to end up doing this, like because you want to work on yourself, like for anything, whether it's work, whether it's money, whether it's like business, whether it's relationships, do the research prior. See, that's what I did. I was like, I want to work on myself becoming more secure attachment.
That's so interesting.
And so that's why I found out about Mary Ainsworth, because I was like, Mary Ainsworth.
Amelia Earhart?
No, stop. You're going to like mess me up. Okay, Mary Ainsworth was the one that created it. And she is the one that like, I did the research.
When did she create it? Do you know?
I didn't look that up, but she was the top person. And so I was like, okay, talk to me like that, because she understands more than anybody.
And everybody asks that. And like, that's something that even me, I've like heard about, and you know, I don't know if I necessarily heard about it 10 years ago or anything. I don't know how new it is, but I remember there's been girls along the way. They've been like, what's your attachment style or whatever? I'm like, whatever. Or love language. That's another one that people ask.
Right. And I think that those are all important to know, because if you know that those about yourself, you can only better yourself and your relationships with everybody.
Yeah. How come we don't? Yeah. There's never a spot where there's never a place in your life where you're going to be like, I'm a secure attachment. You can definitely be more secure than you are now, than you were 5 years ago, whatever. But we're all going to have experiences that we could always better ourselves in.
Right.
How do you know I'm an anxious attachment?
Me and you are exactly the same when it comes to our attachment styles.
Yeah.
See?
I'm not really that anxious, though.
Well, yes, you are.
I'm anxious?
I see you all the time. Yes, you are anxious.
Really?
Yes.
Like, I don't know if I have anxiety.
Are you kidding? Yes, you do. You have anxiety.
Yeah, I'm fine.
When it comes to relationships, when it comes to like, you'll ask me 1,000 times certain things, you'll want reassurance. Anybody that wants reassurance, you know, is always an anxious attachment. You're not a dismissive avoidant. Dismissive avoidants run. Fearful avoidance, they're anxious, and then they run. And they're anxious, and they run. And they're anxious, and they run.
I'm anxious, we'll have a six-hour meltdown. And then we'll go to bed at 3 a.m., and then the next morning we'll be fine.
Yeah, you're not an avoidant. You are definitely an anxious.
I've stayed up all night.
But I will tell you this, though. My anxious attachment is turning into a secure attachment. I am definitely not like I was a year ago.
That's growth.
That is total growth. I have grown so much over this last year.
You've gotten taller, too.
That's very funny. Well, anything else that you would like to throw in to this episode?
Throw in. Let's see. Throwing the frisbee of life in a circular motion, like the earth is rotating. And all we can do is hold on, because it's going faster than we can admit.
Fabulous.
I don't know what that was. I don't know. No, I just, you know what? I think, and that was super interesting, by the way. I think that's definitely one of my goals for 2026. I'd like to be as secure as possible, as healthy as possible. My best version. I think I want to definitely let go of chaos when possible. We're never going to get rid of chaos in a life sense, but we can in other areas of it. And I think I've learned that chaos isn't required to have a healthy relationship or to have a passionate relationship. So I want to definitely, everything that you're saying, I definitely agree with. So I think I'm just excited for the year of the horse, and you know, yeah, not the year of the whores, the year of the horse.
The year of the horse. Yeah.
How? But no, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a good year. It's already been a good year.
Yeah. I have a lot of trips coming up, by the way.
Yeah? Who's going to approve your PTO?
Oh, well. I'm going to Hawaii in March, by the way. We are going to Oregon in April.
Oh, yeah. We're going to Oregon in April.
Hawaii in March. I was going in February to Tahoe, but I don't think I'm doing that anymore. I'm going to Mexico.
Italy.
You are? I want to go.
Potentially New York.
Oh, you are going to New York. And I was going to go to New York with you, I think.
You should definitely make a trip out. You should. So New York. So here's my goal for traveling wise. At least New York and at least Italy. And we already know we're going to Oregon. So that's 3 trips. But I would love to go to Italy.
I want to go to Italy.
Italy. And I want to go to Olive Garden the second I get there.
Very funny.
No, but yeah, that's my plan. So I want to hit at least, like, I want to see as many shows as possible, travel to at least New York and Italy, be best version of myself. And yeah, that's that. Not in a New Year's resolution way, because those are stupid, but in like a New Year's intention kind of way.
I like that. I like intention. Mm-hmm. If you set a goal isn't a goal unless it's accomplished. And I feel like, yeah. I feel like a lot of us set goals and then like a week or two later, they're like out the window.
Well, but it's so stupid. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. I'm gonna eat better. And then there's nothing, you know, like it's just, that's it. Oh, I'm gonna start going to the gym 5 days a week, starting January 1st. Boom. It's like, you can't go 0 to 60. You have to set a goal, have it be realistic. And just, my intention is to be healthier. My intention is to
eat. I love that.
Yeah. You're not going to just, nope, on Monday, I'm not eating any sugar. You hear that? Well, guess what you're eating on Tuesday? You're eating a whole Big Mac and some Laffy Taffies, because you can't go to 0 to 60. Just like you can't get fat overnight.
That's true.
Slow progress, but progress nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And the year of the horse, we're going to be galloping at a decent speed into health and wealth and stealth.
Health, wealth, and stealth. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mi llamo Pitón, mahalo halado.
Oh my. Okay. Wow. Anyway, well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Oh, I do have to shout out to my Singapore people.
Singapore.
Oh, Singapore.
Hello, Singapore.
Hello, Singapore. Singapore, I was number 3 in Singapore with my last podcast. And looks like Singapore is on the map again. So thank you, Singapore. We are glad you are here. And
Happy New Year to you, Singapore.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Do you say Happy New Year or do you say Happy New Year's?
Happy New Year.
I say Happy New Year's.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Well, Singapore, hello.
Hello.
Hello again.
Hello and goodbye.
Is that Neil Diamond or Neil Young? No, Neil Diamond.
I don't know.
Do you like Neil Diamond?
Sure.
Or do you like Neil Young?
Oh, gosh. Now I don't know the difference. I mean, in my head, I can't remember who's
Neil. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. That's Neil Young. And Neil Diamond is the hello again. Hello.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
And Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson are in a Neil Diamond movie.
That's right.
That's ridiculous. That's, who asked for that?
I still want to see that movie.
How dare you? You haven't seen The Big Lebowski, but you want to go see that new Neil Diamond movie?
I actually do want to see it.
That's awful. No. Have you at least seen Almost Famous?
No, I didn't ever see that.
Who? What is you? Have you seen Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise and Penelope Cruz?
No.
Have you seen Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet?
No.
Who is you?
Okay, let's speak proper English.
Who you be?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
We have a very different taste in movies, though.
We do. We really do.
In some incidences.
Right.
My gosh, I keep intentionally messing up words, and then when I actually try to say them right, I can't say it. In some incidents. Oh my gosh.
If you're reading this transcript, by the way, we are really, instances. Really sorry that you can't, because it is not getting the words right.
Okay, so here's my downfall. Here's what I'm going to stop doing in 2026. I will intentionally say words messed up or pronounce them wrong just for the sake of a gag. I'm just like, yeah. And then I'm like, no, all jokes aside. And then I'll try to say it properly and then I'll butcher it again. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just completely like made myself like unintentionally. I can't talk now. In some incidences, you know what word I'm trying to say?
I do. Yes, I do.
What word is it, please? In some incidents? What word am I trying to say? I'm genuinely serious. What word? Help me say it. You're going to be my saving grace, but we can't end this until you say it. In some incidents. What fucking word is that?
In some incidences.
Oh my gosh. I could not say that for the life of me, I swear.
Oh my gosh.
In some incident. What?
Stop. I can't, stop.
I swear on everything holy, I'm not doing this on purpose. Incidents. What word is it again?
Yes, you just said it. Incidents. Stop.
Incidents.
You just need to stop.
I'm freaking out. I have anxiety.
See? Told you.
Wow.
Anyways, it's been fun. Happy New Year to everybody. We hope that you had a great New Year and everybody was safe. And we will catch you...
on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip. Find us on Instagram. And we will see you next Friday with a brand new episode.
And then last thing, Singapore. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God.